No, actually, the fact of the matter is, we're going to give you lots of time to talk and hang out together when we're done here, because we have a potluck, and we'd like you to all come and talk and share and fellowship and, well, and eat. And if maybe you're not prepared today because you thought, I didn't know there's a potluck, or I don't know how to make food, or whatever, we've got some stuff for you, or you can go get chicken nuggets at McDonald's like Joel often does. Just saying. But we'd love for you to be a part of that. And the potluck is a really special, exciting time for us to be together as a family. Most of us live far from here, so we travel from quite a distance. We gather on Sundays, and it's an opportunity. It's sort of family day for us to be together, to worship together, to study together, to share, to eat together. And we'd love for all of you to be able to participate in that together today. So I want to say to all of you this morning, Happy New Year! Yeah, I walked into the office at my wife's school the other day, and I said to the secretaries, I said, hey, Happy New Year! And they looked at me like I had three heads. And I said, okay, Happy School, New School Year! And they're like, oh, okay, now we get it. Now we see what you're talking about. And then he's like, yeah, Happy New School Year. I feel like today is like New Year's Day. It's almost more significant for me, for the life of our church, certainly for the life of our community. You know, we had our big, yesterday was the home opener for Michigan, and they actually won, which was nice. And to the equal opportunity, Michigan State won, which was nice, except for the Central Michigan fans that, well, anyhow. And Ohio State won, right? Okay. And Eastern, okay, so on to another subject. Speaking of New Year and New School Year, we've got there's a tradition here that every time we have a new student start into middle school, that they get a really cool Bible. So I need Caleb and William and Sophie to come forward, because I've got these really, really nice NIV student Bibles for you guys. And I want to present these to you to say, well, I really only have one message for you, and that is, don't break them, they're brand new. I think that was a little slip cover there. So two things, actually. One is, congratulations on starting middle school, and the second thing is, read it. All right, let's give it up for these guys. All right, so I've got one other very important presentation to make before we dive into our, well, lots of good stuff for today. And I need Bill and Dee Rittinger to come forward for a moment, please. This is the beginning of a year, and anytime it's the beginning of a year, it's also sort of the end of a year of sorts. And Bill has served faithfully for many, many years as an elder here at SIO, and Dee for many, many years as a deacon at SIO, and they are both in the midst or just beginning a sabbatical that hopefully is only going to be for 1 year. We have that in writing, right? But there's been a lot of changes and stuff going on in their life and family, and they say, hey, we've been serving for, I don't know, what, 72 years or something? And we just... And they're only 40 years old. It's amazing how that all works out. But they just said, we need to just take a break for a year. And so we want to just take this opportunity as we're finishing a year and starting a new year to say thank you with a very, very small gift of our appreciation. We love you guys, and thank you so much. So. Happy New Year, yes. Okay, so the elders have been working behind the scenes, as they do all the time, to try to help SIO move forward, to help SIO Community Church be led in a way that honors God. And today there's a kind of a tradition around here that we have an annual theme. And who can tell me what this year's annual theme has been? Radical. Don't all shout it at once. Okay, so radical. And it's kind of... The hard thing for me about New Year's is like January 1st, but it's also the beginning of September, and then sort of there's this overlap. And so a year ago I stood here and I said, our theme is radical, and it's going to start in January. And, well, we're kind of doing that again. So big drum roll here. This is our new theme for 2013 is bless. Oh, that was a good drum roll, you guys. So bless. And everything that we're going to be talking about in 2013, or most everything, is going to be about this idea of bless, about blessing others. We've been blessed, and we've been blessed to be a blessing to others. And as anyone that's been around here for any length of time knows, we've been talking more and more about how do we gather here so that we can scatter out there. And that the church isn't so much this building or this gathering, but it's the people of God that are out on mission to go serve and love the world and fulfill God's mission. It's not that the church has a mission, it's that the mission has a church. And we are the church sent by God on mission to go and bless the world. And we're going to talk more and more about that, as I say, in the coming days. Today we began a huge step in that process with something called the practice, which is Sunday school for the rest of the week. And raise your hand really high if you participated today in the practice. Man, I was in with the adults. We had a great time. Ben Muto did an outstanding job of just leading up literally a packed house of people this morning. And this is not just something where we're going to learn and fill our minds, but it's also transforming our hearts and actually seeping deep into our hands and to our lives to go and bless and serve. And you're going to hear an awful lot about that in the coming days because we're on a mission from God. Yes, The Blues Brothers is my favorite movie, but that's another story. But we are truly, we're on a mission from God. And a mission is more than just intellectual assent. It's more than just agreeing with some principles and thoughts and ideas. Mission requires action. It requires movement. And it requires participation. And so as we continue to gather, it's for the purpose of scattering and trying to equip all of us together to be the church wherever we happen to be. So if you missed it this morning, we invite you next Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Don't miss the practice. It's going to be incredible. Sunday school for the rest of the week. So this morning is our fall kickoff, and it's the beginning of a new season, as I said. Not only is it the beginning of a season around here, but today is the beginning of NFL for most of the teams. Do we have any Detroit Lions fans here? Raise your hands high. Be proud. They're actually doing better, okay? Okay, I have a lot of half-raised hands. That's good. That's safe. I'm actually kind of with you there. Any other, like, NFL fans, and you have a team that you just really love, okay? We got the Chicago crew, okay? We got the Packers, okay? Steelers? The Bengals over the Steelers. Oh, now we have some conflict, okay? Anyone else? Hesitantly the Browns. All right. Anyone else? Giants? Is it a fair weather fan, just like won the Super Bowl, or real Giants fan? Who said Giants? Real Giants fan, okay. Yeah. The Vikings.
Speak for Shrek, the Baltimore Ravens.
The Ravens. Wow, see, this is a very diverse congregation. Right? No one said my favorite team, Philadelphia Eagles, but that's another story. Alright, so anyhow, back to football for a second here. Every year, and I mentioned this last year, but every year, the legendary football coach from the Packers, Vince Lombardi, would start training camp, and he would hold a football in his hand, and he would say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, these are paid professional athletes that play football. I don't think any of them confused it with a hockey puck or a basketball. But that was his point of saying, we're going to start with the basics. Why are we here? Before we start looking at Super Bowls and championships and all that, we're going to start with the basics. This is a football, and we need to find a way to use this ball in a way that gets us across the field and scores touchdowns and such. Going back to basics. So this morning, I want to kind of go back to basics and remind all of us of why we're here. And our mission as a church is to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go make disciples of all nations, and follow the Great Commandment, which is love God and love your neighbor, by serving our communities, sharing our story, and sending disciples to bless the nations so that God is glorified. Friends, everything that SIO Community Church is about has to be about this. If it doesn't fit here, if it doesn't propel our purpose forward, then it's not worth us doing. It might be a good thing. It might be a nice thing. It might be something you enjoy or other people enjoy. But if it doesn't help us move the ball down the field, so to speak, to win a championship, which would be seeing God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, ultimately, then it's not part of our game plan. But this is it. This is what we focus on. And every decision, every action, every activity, every dollar goes back to this simple mission statement. Love God, love your neighbor, make disciples, sharing, serving, sending. Why? So that God is glorified. And we believe that the practice, the Sunday morning experience at 9 a.m. is a big part of this. This gathering, we want to be a part of this. What we do outside this building, everything we do is ultimately about this mission. And at the bottom line is to glorify God. Let's pray. Dear God, we've already spent time just worshiping through song. We've worshiped through the giving of our gifts and tithes and offerings. Many of us have spent time studying your word already this morning, looking at the incredible book of Genesis and your creation through our 9 a.m. practice gathering. And now we come to your word. We come to an opportunity just to continue to study, but more than mentally study, I pray, Lord, that we would fall deeper in love with you. For we were created for the purpose of knowing you, ultimately. And we want to know you. We want to know you more. And I just pray, as I do each week, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, would bring you honor, and would bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So that God is glorified is the end of our mission statement. This is sort of the bottom line. So there's all that stuff at the top. But what's the ultimate purpose? It's so that God is glorified. Now, glorified is not a word that we hear a whole lot in our culture, and it's actually the name of our current new series that we begin today. Glorified. I wonder when the last time you used that word in your own day-to-day conversations. What does glorified mean? Anybody? To give honor, okay? To make much of, good. To exalt, good. Extol. No one said to bring glory. Because you knew from school that you're not supposed to use the word, yeah. When I went to the dictionary, that was one of the definitions. It was to make glorious, to glory in. Yeah, to honor, to praise, to light up brilliantly, to give glory to as in worship. And again, that's not only the bottom line of our mission and why we are here as a church, it's why we were created. We were created to give God glory. That He would be glorified, that it's about Him, not about ourselves. It's often been said that we live in a consumeristic culture and thousands of messages bombard us every day that says, bring glory to yourself, it's all about you, have it your way, you deserve a break today, obey your thirst. It's about you, 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 you. And the bottom line is, he who has the most toys wins. Right? You've probably seen some of those bumper stickers. It's all about you, and as long as you're happy, pursue happiness at all costs. Because that's really why we're here. That's why we were created, is to be happy. But that's not at all what God says. In fact, He says that we were created to make Him happy, which sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Like He's got an ego trip or something. He created us so that we would make Him glorified and honored and reverenced. Yes. Part of our nature is to worship ourselves. In fact, the core of who we are in terms of human, tempted, broken creatures is this idea of drawing attention to ourselves. But it's about God being glorified. How many of you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Of course. Okay, what are the Ten Commandments? Well, let's just name a couple of them. Love your neighbor. Okay, great. That was a great commandment. Okay. You get partial credit for that. Other gods. Father, mother. That's the most important one for children. Okay, honor your father and mother. Not really. No, don't murder. Sabbath. Don't lie. Don't covet, steal, adultery. Okay? So, it's funny, if you just went on the street, and I didn't do this week, but it'd be interesting just to walk up to the stranger and say, you know, do you know any of the Ten Commandments? The ones that usually people say first are, don't kill, and don't steal, and don't lie. And adultery is often thrown in there too. Like, those don't things. Like, don't do those things that hurt other people. And this, pretty much the first half of the commandments is sort of how we honor and worship God, and the second half is how we love and care for those around us for the most part. But it's interesting that the first ones are the most important. God puts the first things first. You shall have no other gods before me is how it begins in Exodus 20. No other gods. And then he says, don't make any idols. Which, to me, I always thought, well, isn't that the same thing? Like a god and an idol, except is God maybe something I can't see and an idol is something I can see? You know, you see idols and people, they build these totem poles or like little things and they worship them in other cultures and stuff. We do the same thing in our culture. It's just that they're like malls and stadiums and things like that that we kind of bow to. But it's not just one. The first two commandments, so no other gods, no idols. And then it goes on to his name. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So it's not just him as a person, but even his name is holy and sacred, which is incidentally why Jews will never articulate the Hebrew name for God. They'll use Elohim, which is sort of a substitute, which means like Lord. And they'll use a couple other words. But they won't use the holy name, which is Yod Hey Vav Hey, which most English people pronounce as Yahweh. And my rabbi friend said, that's probably really close. But he won't say it. He literally will not articulate the word Yahweh, because that's the holy sacred name of God. And then it talks about the Sabbath. And we go, oh yeah, the Sabbath. Well, what does that have to do with God? You see what it says here? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's not just rest for your sake, but rest to the Lord, to honor God even with a day of the week. And Sabbath we talked about this morning at the practice. And it's one way that we can show our love and devotion and trust in God, that we can do more with 6 days with God than we can 7 without Him. The idea is for one day to not be productive. Which just sounds so nasty, doesn't it? Not be productive. What are you talking about? But that's what rest is. It's to not be productive. It's to trust that by being with God and refueling your tank and focusing on Him and meditating on Him, that you can get more done with those other 6 days than you can 7 without Him. So no other gods, no idols. Do not misuse the name of the Lord and take a Sabbath to the Lord your God. These are not suggestions, but commands. And in fact, they're actually more important. If you look at the order, they're more important than murder and adultery and lying and stealing and all that stuff that we like to talk about and think are so important. And they are. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Please, no murder. But what's this all about? Is this because God's so insecure? I mean, did He have to put this list together because, you know, He's just so arrogant? I say, no, it's because He's God and He can, right? He created us. When you create something, you can pretty much do whatever you want to with it. Think about that for a second. Remember when your kids, some of your kids, you know, Play-Doh and stuff? Like, you know, you make stuff. And when you're an artist, you can change it. You don't want anyone else to change it. Hey, what are you doing with my... But if you want to change it, if you want to reshape it, if you want to change the color, if you make a painting, if you write a song and you want to change the lyrics of the song, like, you can kind of do whatever you want to because it's yours. It's your creation. God can do whatever He wants to, except He's given us a free will to choose to follow Him or not to follow Him. He created the game. He can set the rules. And even better, He initiated this whole thing we call life and humanity that, again, we spoke about this morning, earlier today. And the universe He created, He spoke it into existence. Some believe He sang it into existence, and He loves it. And that's the exciting thing, is that for all God's power, for all of His strength, for all of His majesty, for the fact that He could squish us like a bug, and sometimes it feels like it does, but He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a God worth following, not because we have to, not because He threatens us, because He wants more than anything else to know us, to love us, to be in relationship with us. And that's so different than anything that we create. Right? I mean, unless you're creating robots and you're trying to get them to talk to you and have a relationship with you, which would be pretty strange to begin with. But generally the things that we create, we don't have a relationship with them. One thing that was pointed out, never really quite occurred to me, is that God created us for a relationship with Him, and He created all these other living creatures, but He did not create pandas to have a relationship with Him. Ants don't have this ongoing dialogue with God. But He created us unique and special, different than all the other creatures, to actually communicate and know and relate with God. I find that absolutely astonishing, to think that the God of all creation wants more than anything else, not just to display His power, not to show off, not to put me in a box, but instead to give me freedom and say, I want to know You and I want to love You. There's nothing more important in all the universe and all my creation than knowing and loving You. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. Pandas were not created in the image of God. They're cool. And I heard one of them's pregnant in Washington, D.C., maybe. They're not sure. I guess the pandas, I can't quite tell if they're having babies or not. I don't know what that's about. But they're cool. But they weren't created in God's image. God created man in His own image, and in the image of God, He created a male and female. He created them. In 1647, any of you around then? 1647? I wasn't either. 1647, a gathering of English and Scottish theological writers set out to summarize the Bible in order to train people in the faith. For hundreds of years, this has been used in countless churches, and it's called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Have any of you studied the Westminster Shorter Catechism? Couple of you. Okay. It begins with a question, which I think is kind of interesting, that you would try to teach people and it sort of summarize the Bible with a question. Of course, Jesus asks questions all the time, so go figure. But the question is this: what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What meaning is there in life? Again, I told you today, we're going back to basics. Gentlemen, this is a football. Like, why are we here? What on earth are we here for? And this whole catechism thing starts with this question: what's the big idea? Why are we here? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. I love the statement because it provides two responses. The first one is that we are created to glorify God, and that's the purpose of this series. And we're going to be talking for the next several weeks about glorifying God. How can we glorify God? How can we make Him number one? How can we make Him the God of our lives? How can we love Him and honor Him, respect Him, and extol Him, magnify Him? How do we worship God? That's why we exist as a church. But there's this enjoy Him for everything too, because He wants a relationship with us. And I think that's something that most of us have no real understanding about. I mean, we talk about, I have a personal relationship with God. Christianity, it's not a religion, it's about a relationship. We have these like little slogans and bumper sticker things, but the Creator of the universe, you saw those pictures earlier in that video. Just, it's amazing to think about how creative and what an artist God is, and then to think that He loves me and He loves you and He accepts you. And there's nothing more important than you to Him. You're more important than any panda bear. Or panda. Is it a bear? Koala's not a bear. Anyhow, there's a real danger, though, for me to stand here this morning and say, glorify God. Kids, how many of you know, your parents have said, do such and such. Why? Because I said so. Oh, that really helps me. Yeah. I vowed never to say those words to my kids, because I said so. And I'll explain. Well, you see, son, it boils down to this. Well, and I go into great theological and philosophical statements, and by the time he finds, like, okay, I'm going to take out the trash. I don't want to hear all this. But what does it mean when God says, glorify me, worship me? It's not just because I said so. See, the end result is that we enjoy Him forever. In 2 weeks, we're going to focus on the why of worship. And today, I just want to say one simple thing about the meaning and purpose in life. It's all about God. A few weeks ago, I mentioned John Piper's statement about a Christian hedonist, which seems like a contradiction in terms. But he says that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So when we talk about worship and glorify God, it's not just this, oh, I got to do this out of obligation. It's that by doing it, by worshiping God, by knowing Him and bringing Him glory, that there's a blessing that we receive. There's a satisfaction and a joy, and that we are most satisfied in Him, and He is most glorified in the process. It begins in meditating on who God is. No one knew this better than King David, and the Psalms are filled with riveting writings, including this portion of Psalm 145. I just want to share it with you and just give you another opportunity just to think about all of God's amazing creation. It says, I will exalt you, my King, the God, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise and extol your name. Forever and ever. Great, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He has compassion on all He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Is that rich? There's some deep and powerful words about God in there. And it's one thing for you and I to think, well, okay, so the guy, he really loved God, and but he was probably just some loser guy that didn't have anything else to do. Now, this was King David. This was arguably the most powerful man that's walked the face of the earth. This is a guy who had anything he wanted, anything he desired, and yet he understood that he was this big compared to mighty God. You know, one of my favorite words that's in that passage is this word awesome. They will tell the power of your awesome works. The Hebrew word is yare, meaning to revere, to be afraid, to be awesome, be dreadful, to honor, to respect and awe, as in the fear of the Lord. And going back to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we were created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The more we know Christ, the more we not only learn about His commands for us, the more we want to love Him, the more we understand His love, His grace, His hope, His forgiveness, His joy, the more we naturally want to respond to that. That we would want to respond by loving and serving. Like, we don't worship because we have to. We worship because we get to. We worship because we can't help it. Because everybody worships. Let me say that again. Everybody worships. Atheists worship, Buddhists worship, Muslims worship, Hindus worship, Christians worship. Everybody worships. Now, many of us worship what we see in the mirror every day. And that becomes our focus. That becomes our God. That's the one that we want to please with our time, talent, and treasures. But God says, worship Me. Glorify Me. Put your faith and your trust in Me. Live life with Me. John Piper adds that we all make God a God out of what we take the most pleasure in. He says, Christian hedonists want to make God their God by seeking after the greatest pleasure in Him. By Christian hedonism, we do not mean that our happiness is the highest goal. We mean that pursuing the highest goal will always result in our greatest happiness in the end. We should pursue this happiness and pursue it with all our might. The desire to be happy is a proper motive for every good deed. And if you abandon the pursuit of your own joy, you cannot love or please God. He's saying that It's in God that we find happiness. It's in God that we find purpose. It's in God that we find meaning. We serve a truly awesome God. He spoke or possibly sang into existence the galaxies and the fish, the birds, all of humanity. The more we see how great God is, the more it puts perspective on our lives and our hopes and our challenges. This week I was reminded of this a couple times. First, I heard a story of a friend who was facing just a major, major crisis in his life. In fact, it was a crisis that literally was on the verge of transforming everything about his future. And he said, I've got like 3 hours, and if a miracle doesn't happen in 3 hours, the whole trajectory of my life is going to change. And all of a sudden, I was with a gathering of friends, and people, did you try this? You should do this. So you know, maybe you should do this. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I've tried everything. It's all out of my control. In 3 hours, it's just, it's kaput. And I said, let's pray. And it felt a little awkward. And even as I was saying the words and expressing my heart to God, I remember thinking, on the one hand, like, this could be really foolish because, I mean, I'm asking for a miracle, and if you don't come through, and this guy's life's forever changed and whatever. But it wasn't so much the power of my prayer and my words, and it wasn't even so much whether or not God chose to intervene in this situation. The issue was, is God able? Is God powerful? Does God love? Does God care? Is God in the situation? And I got a phone call 2 hours and 45 minutes later that said 10 minutes before it was going to put a miracle happen and everything just lined up. And I was just like, thank you. Sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it's not that quick. It's not that simple. And some of you know that our daughter's been through a lot of physical challenges and other challenges through the years. And last Monday we celebrated just a great, great day of her getting ready for school and starting a whole new chapter in her life. And on Monday night, 12 hours before she started class, I got a phone call that she was being rushed to the ER. And it wasn't the phone call that we wanted. And I wish I could tell you that she's been miraculously healed and she's running across campus, but the fact of the matter is she has 2 legs that are swelling, and she's in a wheelchair, and we're really not sure what's going on. And so we ask for your prayers for her. But here's the thing. I don't know if any of you saw, it was really hard for me to sing earlier, not in a bad way, but in a good way, because we sang, if God is for us, who can ever stop us? And friends, that's the God that we serve. And I've seen God heal my daughter. I've seen God heal many of you. I've seen God change and transform lives. And let me just be frank. I don't use this word very often. This word awesome. I don't use it often because I just don't think that a hamburger is awesome. As much as I like the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think they are awesome. Nor the Packers, sorry. And we know them, the Lions. The word awe is in there to cause awe and wonder. To truly be great and magnificent. You'll rarely hear me use the word awesome for anything other than God. Because God is truly, He's truly awesome. He's truly able to do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine. And I know many of you this morning, your life is hard and there's stuff going on, and whether it's, you know, getting started with school and then exams or job situations or relational mess or just uncertainty. Maybe there's physical things. You know, I'm just a daddy with a broken heart because my baby girl is not feeling well today. And you know what? God is awesome. There is no problem that's too big for Him. There's no circumstance that He's not right in the middle of. See, what gives me hope is that I know that He's right there with my daughter and He's suffering in her suffering. He's rejoicing with the rejoicing that's taking place in the world today. He's near to the brokenhearted, but He came Emmanuel, God with us. And the fact that our Creator wants to know you and me is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I mean, I think it would be pretty cool if I had a chance to have a conversation with, you know, with Michael Vick, the quarterback for the Eagles. I mean, if I had someone call me, hey, you want to do lunch with Michael Vick? I'd be like, yeah, let's go. You know, if some movie star wanted to do lunch with me, or, you know, even, well, probably not a politician, but, you know, like there's certain people, you'd be like, wow, I would love to get to know this person. The Creator of the universe wants nothing more than to know you. The most beautiful sound in all of creation to Him is the sound of your voice. And so we talk these next several weeks about worship, about glorifying God. I want you to understand this isn't about God trying to manipulate us and trying to force His way into our lives so that we just sing really loud or clap or pray more. This is about centering ourselves upon the awesome God and realizing that everything else in life is so small in comparison. So small. My daughter's health, He can handle that. The other issues in my life, the issues in your life, God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than anything else. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I just, I don't know how to end today except for us to take a few moments and to just declare His goodness. To bless His name. So as the band comes up, we're going to close with a song that we learned last week. And it speaks so well about blessing God, about glorifying God. Because He is worthy of it. Because He is God and we're not. And even as we sing these words, I invite you to make them a prayer today. I know you didn't write the words, but you can express them in the same way that you don't write those Hallmark cards, you know. But you find the words that fit and you go, this expresses my heart, and you sign it at the bottom. If this expresses your heart, if these words express your heart, sign your name at the bottom. Tell God, this is from me. Someone else wrote it, but this is from me. Because you are awesome. Because you are worthy. Because you are God. And we're going to do this for a long time. So we might as well practice now.